This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Michelle McLean Woods about the phantom of the fixer upper.
It was just almost overwhelming to her because the woman was so sad. I mean, it was just really an emotional session. She was feeling the woman's emotions and she had to stop. She just had to stop. It was so overwhelming. So she hands me the dowsing rods. I'm not normally very good at dowsing rods. That's just not one of the pieces of equipment that I use usually. And I grabbed the dowsing rods and it was immediate. I could feel her energy running through me. I could see what she was trying to tell me in my head. She was showing me what she was, you know, trying to say. And using the dowsing rods, you know, yes and no answers. I was asking questions and it was finally, she was looking for her child and she was very upset, you know, very emotional, and I could feel her emotions. Mm-hmm. And she was looking for her child, and after asking more and more questions, she was the chief's daughter. She was exiled or banished from the tribe because she had this child with a white settler. And this is just through asking questions, yes and no questions, and her, like I said, her feeling her emotions and energy. And when we were done with that session, the other two members that had done the previous dowsing rod session away from us that didn't tell us anything told us they had got the exact same thing when they were doing dowsing rods. The exact same questions led them to the exact same thing that I had said. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting for two different groups in two different areas to get the same results on the dowsing rods, the same story, if you will. And that was really interesting. And that was really emotional, feeling somebody else's emotions through those dowsing rods and that energy. Like, sure. I said, I've not really used dowsing rods that much, but I could just feel her energy. And I was almost in tears because it was so overwhelming and sad that she was so upset looking for this child. And it was just an interesting investigation. And then later when we went back to the tunnel and we did some more dowsing rods and some more things, you know, we kind of figured out that there's some kind of Native American spirit there that kind of guards the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still a sacred place, I think, to the Native Americans there. And I think you really have to have respect to go into these places when you investigate. And we do have respect for these places. We don't go in and, you know, mess up anything or damage anything. You know, we're really there to learn the stories of the spirits that are there. And we, you know, we try to do our best to do that. Mm-hmm. And, that's just a really interesting place to, you know, go investigate if you ever have a chance to investigate. It's the history around that area is just really interesting. And like I said, the powerhouse is still there. I think it's like two floors are underwater, and then the other two, maybe three floors are above the water, and you can investigate there. And we also communicated with a man, I want to say like on the fourth floor, that ended up, this is what we surmised by asking questions through spear box and dowsing rods, that he was electrocuted while he was working there. It was during the construction. And, you know, just asking questions through the spear box and everything. And that's kind of what we got there. And I think there was a couple other people, that construction workers, that we kind of communicated with. I can't really remember their stories. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of death there. So it's a very interesting place.
Do you, this is an opinion based question, but do you think the curse that was allegedly put on the dam and the area and that piece of water contributed to the high amount of deaths that occurred in the construction of the dam?
I think that's possible. Yes. And, you know, and to the, like I said, the dam leaked. The mm-hmm. whole time it was built on limestone foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I think just everything that's happened there is, I think, has to do with the Native Americans and maybe the curse also.
Yeah. What do you think the purpose was of the woman? You know, she's there, she's searching for this child. You're getting these answers. Others got the same sort of answers. Is there ever a way for the living to help a spirit like that seems to be kind of in this eternal nightmare of searching for their child that's missing?
I think there is. There are people out there that can help spirits cross over. We don't do that. I'm not exactly sure how you do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think she was stuck there in kind of like a purgatory, mm-hmm. You know, kind of just not knowing where that her child was already probably, you know, passed across. But yeah, there are people that do that.
Sure.
That, you know, help spirits cross. I'm just not sure how that's done.
Yeah, I mean, and that's an interesting thing to me. And this is just a kind of another opinion-based question, because it's something we're seeing quite frequently, where you have a haunted location and you know, people go in and investigate. And I totally understand if you own the haunted location and you're making a profit off of people coming and investigating it, the last thing you want to do is unhaunt your location. And,
yeah.
and there, you know, the message in many cases is, and I don't know what the message is at Hales Bar Dam, so I'm not in any way inferring that this is what they're doing or saying. I'm just saying, in general, there's some locations that do this. They're like, you know, no crossing over, no, you know, doing that with the spirits. But what about when you have something like that? What about when you have something that, or someone that seems to be in torment, in this purgatory? I mean, that talk about probably the worst feeling you could have is having a missing child. But, you know, we want to have that group that's coming in next week from Oklahoma, so they got something to investigate. Don't cross over the spirit. You know, I get many groups don't do that and don't have the capabilities to do that. But is there an obligation for someone who does have the ability to do that to attempt that? Especially if something or someone is unhappy. I get it where it's like, they seem happy here, don't do it. Cool, don't. But something of that nature where it's like, help them. I mean, they're clearly not in a good place. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I think those kind of spirits probably, you know, need to be crossed over. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the only thing I would be able to do would be like, you know, mm-hmm. try to communicate with them that they need to go toward the light.
Sure.
I mean, like I said, I don't know anything about crossing spirits over, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would be the only thing that I would be able to do is, you know, like, your child is not here anymore.
Sure.
He's crossed over.
And I'm not specifically asking, you know, what you would do personally. It's just more so kind of just, is there a moral thing here where we're almost to the point of like, well, we're commercializing this a little much, and it's actually, you know, not quite, you know, in the intent or the, you know, in a, I guess, a pure nature of just being out there for what one's, you know, intent is for doing, for trying to communicate in general.
Right. And like I said, the respect that we have for spirits, I do feel bad about that because I don't consider this entertainment.
Sure.
I mean, I guess that's why I don't watch any of the shows or anything.
Yeah.
And I don't begrudge anybody that does, or I don't begrudge anybody that's on the shows. But yeah, it's not really entertainment. It's, you know, we're trying to communicate with these spirits and get their stories and try to learn more about the paranormal. And I feel like, you know, that makes me feel sad that she, you know, is not with her child.
Sure.
And so there is a fine line between, you know, paranormal investigating and, I guess, entertainment value. And like I said, I don't, that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Since it's not my, location. It's not my location. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like, you know, I would have the right to do something like that. And, you know, I think we did communicate with the people that run the place, you know, what our findings were. We usually do that at most places that we go to. We communicate what we found, our findings. And I guess that would be up to them to decide, you know, what to do.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Michelle McLean Woods. A big thank you to her for joining us on the show and sharing her experiences with us. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.